Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app, which means you can also not just listen, but also watch the video of the show be broadcast. We have several cameras set up in awkward positions, staring right at me. Hi. But you can see it at KTTH.com or the KTTH smartphone app. A Seattle restaurant just got robbed again. In fact, this is the third time it's been robbed. And I guess it's the cost of doing business in Seattle. And it's what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
The restaurant Ballard Mandarin was hit for a third time. Happened this week, courtesy of two masked men, life's losers, deciding that they're going to take from other people, hurt other people for their own gain, for their own benefit. They smash through the back door, glass window or glass door. They get inside, they rummaged around, they stole whatever they could find that was valuable, and then they left.
It seemed like they did take a couple, like, bottles of alcohol, some plates, some cash from the front, I believe. They did do a lot of damage.
But you see, they're used to it. Unfortunately, doing business here, you get used to it. Now, that's Emma. She's an employee. She spoke with Como TV. She confirmed this was the third break-in that they suffered. And I'm going to guess that it's probably the same two losers who robbed the Singing Barber, which is a barber shop whose owner was on the show last week. He had been hit multiple times by the time he came on and talked to us. They're right next door. Like, it's in the same area. One of his stylists spoke to Como.
There's a certain amount of opportunistic attitude when it comes to that, because they know that there's probably not going to be any sort of recourse.
Yeah, I mean, she means consequences, but she's 100% correct. Everyone knows there's not really going to be any consequences. I mean, on the rare instance in which you steal enough or not enough to get to felony level, it's going to the city attorney's office. She'll go after you, Ann Davison, but she still has to deal with judges that don't want to put these people in jail, don't want to have them suffer any kind of meaningful consequence. And so this is a rinse, wash, repeat session over and over and over again. And then meanwhile, you've got Dan Strauss, a council member who doesn't really care about any of these people. He still hasn't even met with the barbershop owner who called him out for essentially completely dismissing any concern of a business owner, abandoning the businesses in his district. He gave a statement to Como TV saying, oh, yeah, we just got in touch. Well, yeah, at some point we'll talk. That's the sign that they don't care. And look, we all get the government we deserve. The end of the day, regardless of where it is we live, whether it's Seattle or Steilacoom, it doesn't matter. We get the government we deserve, and we deserve the government based on who we put into office, and we keep putting the same types of people into office. This is the first time in a long time where we have a considerably more, at least in theory, moderate council. It's too soon to know if they're truly going to be moderate, but they certainly have shown signs. The one person, or there's two people, but one person that matters here who's still on the council from the last session was Dan Strauss. And of course, he's still acting the way that he acted before, which is he tells you he cares until he gets your votes, and then he ignores you completely because it doesn't really matter what you think. And that's the unfortunate reality right now. And it's not really just a Seattle issue either. There are plenty of council members around the state, around just the Puget Sound region, that do not care what you think. They're the same with state lawmakers. Some of them just do not care what you think. They listen to a small group of radicals. And tell me what benefit has come out of that. Tell me one single benefit that Seattle has gained as a result of having some of the most far-left fringe voices in power. Tell me one. I'm waiting. Give me one benefit. Jason gets on TV a lot.
Jason gets on TV a lot.
Exactly. That's the one benefit that I would have gone with. So that kudos to you. Really, that's the only benefit I could see. I live in Seattle, right? So I have to deal with this all the time. I have to deal with wondering whether or not the homeless person who quite literally is smoking fentanyl on the bus two seats away will end up giving me a contact high. I will say I thought I had a contact high once I got off, but I think it was just all in my head. Should I know what fentanyl smells like?
I mean, in a perfect world, no.
No. In any world, even an imperfect world, I should probably not know what fentanyl smells like. I was walking home the other day, and I took a slightly different route than I normally do because every once in a while I want to make sure I'm not being followed. And it's not because I'm a crazy person. And I was like, what does that smell? Oh, God, it smells like fentanyl. But I couldn't see anyone at all. I didn't see any homeless person. I didn't see any, you know, obvious drug addict. And yet I smelled it. And I kept walking, kept walking, kept walking. Finally go maybe a minute later, I see a homeless guy smoking. Like the amount that he would have had to smoke for me to smell it from where I was, like, is, I'm surprised he's alive. I'm surprised he was alive when I walked by him. And I go through this, and I think now a lot of people go through this. And again, this is not just in Seattle, but I experience it in Seattle a lot, where you go near someone who's completely passed out and you have this internal thought, is he dead? Do I call 911? What do I do exactly? Because this is a dude who's clearly homeless. He's hunched over in a wheelchair. I can't tell if he's breathing. You kind of do the, you know, the inspection from afar, like, do I see his chest moving up and down at all? And you actually say to yourself, do I even want to call 911? I mean, they probably don't even want to deal with this because he's probably not dead, but what if he is? And then you just wonder the entire time. And then you hope that you don't hear a newscast about how this dude died and they're looking at surveillance footage of the people who walked by and didn't do anything. Because it would definitely catch me looking at the guy trying to figure out if he was breathing. I mean, I would lie and I would say, no, I thought I saw him breathing, obviously, because I wouldn't want to get out of this. But most people are in my position, right? If we called 911 for every single time we saw someone who was passed out, we wouldn't have anyone to respond to emergencies all day. All they would do would be going to the homeless people. So tell me a benefit of any policy that has passed in the course of the last few years. We got the All-Star game? Oh, okay, but because of a policy? Or did they agree to do that before any of these things even happened? And it spreads. Tacoma, you can make the same argument. Bellingham, at least for a bit, you could have made the same argument. Same for Puyallup. We're just going in the wrong direction. And, you know, every once in a while, you get a story that indicates we're going in the right one, only to then be reminded that, you know, maybe God is punishing us all. Is that possible?
Yeah. Probably the most likely scenario, right? Honestly.
Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? International.
So the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, in almost indescribably disgusting comments yesterday, he was giving a press conference in which he warned Israel is becoming Hamas. Now, he starts it off by trying to say they're not the same, but then he ends it by saying you're pretty much becoming the same. This comment is so disgusting.
Israel is not Hamas. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, a terrorist organization.
Wait, by the way, that's also just a clumsy comparison. It's like this apple is not a horse. This is an animal and this is a fruit.
It's like things Captain Obvious.
Yeah, well, Hamas is a group and you're comparing it to a country, right? So yeah, I know already that they're not the same. Even if everything they stood for was the same, they're still not the same. So, okay, could have said the Israeli government, I guess.
Like the IDF, maybe.
The IDF, oh my God.
And democracies place the highest value on human life. Every human life.
And that's the unborn.
As has been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world.
Who said that?
That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists, like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
So whose human life do we not value? Because all he's doing here is, and this is happening with the Biden administration right now in general, they're taking advantage, they're exploiting an error. There was an error in which Israel ended up killing aid workers. The unfortunate truth is that that will happen in war. That's the truth. it's an ugly part of war because war is ugly. Would we be in war right now if Hamas decided not to murder and rape and kidnap a bunch of Jews? No. Israel would not be in war. We would not be having this war right now. We would maybe have skirmishes because that's what Hamas does. But this wouldn't be going on right now, and those aid workers would not have been killed this week. Everyone knows it is the result of a mistake. But Democrats who feel vulnerable around this issue will say, well, I hope it was a mistake. What do you mean you hope it was a mistake? What makes you imply that it might not have been? Do you have any evidence to suggest that? Other than the anti-Semitic college kids who demand we call everything intentional, other than them, do you have any evidence at all? I mean, did they try to cover this up? Because it seems like Israel has been pretty open about this. We know that this is going to happen. And unfortunately, besides the mistakes that are made, here's the other unfortunate reality. Civilians die in war. And they especially are going to die in war when you have the bad guys who are embedded with the civilians. Because otherwise, what would happen? Let's live in the world in which a terrorist attack happens in this country. And it's perpetuated by Canadian terrorists. The Canucks, we'll call them. They're just as bad as the Hamas agents in this scenario. And they strike, and then they go back into Canada, and they disperse. And they go into downtown Toronto, and downtown Quebec, and downtown Vancouver. Should we then, as Americans, say, okay, you got us. You got us. So good on you. Next time we're going to act a little bit quicker and get you before you go back across the border. Because if that's the case, which is what basically folks are arguing in Israel versus Hamas, that because Hamas fighters go back into densely populated areas, that Israel should not be able to strike. What do you want to live in that world? Seriously, do you want to invite that kind of terrorist act? Well, you can get ground troops. Yeah, you could. But you're all telling us not to do that at all in any cases of war. Whether it comes to U.S. potential intervention, we don't want troops on the ground, boots on the ground. You're talking about Israel. You don't want boots on the ground in Rafah. And of course, no one prefers boots on the ground for the most part. Why is that? Why would we rather not have boots on the ground and instead use missile strikes? Any ideas? Say so our troops don't die.
So that our troops don't die.
Precisely. And should that be a big kind of thing to sort of have at the top of your list of not wanting to happen when going to war?
You would hope so.
Right? Any country would have that same position. When you look at the actual data of civilian deaths here, we're not talking about a number of civilian deaths that's not unheard of for skirmishes like this one or for wars. In fact, we are basically asking Israel to be held to a standard that the United States isn't held to. That's what we're asking of them. Now, I expect that of the virulently anti-war crowd on the left and the virulently anti-war crowd on the right. But when you mix in to all of this, the just blatant Jew hatred, what we're really hearing from a lot of these folks is we really don't want Jews to defend themselves. That's all that this is about. And Chris Cuomo, of all people, made the point last night on News Nation. The messages that are being sent by the Biden White House with all of the different changes in rhetoric, but also we're still going to give you some aid, but only if you do it this way, but you better not do it that way, but we're going to do it anyway. Everyone's like, what in God's name are you saying? What is it that you want to do here?
I know that the war in the Middle East is a major concern for you in the election. And I think that explains why you misplayed it the way you did today, okay? You gave a mixed message. You talked tough, what sounded like a threat to your main ally in the region, and then you said you're giving them more weapons. You're treating the war against Israel as if it were another political point of compromise. This is wrong, but this is wrong, and we need to do better here, and there has to be change, and blah, 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 ceasefire.
I do blah, blah, blah.
A lot of words, a lot of conditional language. A lot of half-speak, a lot of appeasement in a situation that is not about balance. It is about realities.
So he's right, which is something I rarely say of Chris Cuomo. Does he actually think Joe Biden is watching? Because it sounds like he's talking directly to him. And I know because of the time that Chris Cuomo's on, 8 p.m. Eastern, Joe Biden is fast asleep. He's not watching that show live. He watches, what's it called? Morning Joe. But his point is correct. And in all of this, you know what really hasn't been mentioned a whole lot lately outside of Israel? Hostages. Kind of forgot about them, huh? The hostages that are still there, including, by the way, Americans, who are still being held hostage, assuming they're even still alive. Kind of been lost in all of the conversation about making sure civilians who, in some cases, are actively giving cover to Hamas don't end up getting injured.
Hamas is a terror organization. You designated them as that. They stole people. They need to give the people they stole back to us, to Israel, first. The hostages have become an afterthought. And that is wrong. And the reason it has happened is even more wrong. The reason it has happened is because other political exigencies and agendas have overtaken their relevance. The aid workers being hit, horrible. Matters, of course. Deserves attention, absolutely. But also makes the lack of attention to the hostages apparent.
Yeah, it kind of does. You have American citizens. I've heard more from the administration about a loser WNBA basketball player who got stuck in Russia after being told not to go there than I have heard about any of the American Jews who are hostages. It's weird how that is. Too bad we didn't have a celebrity become a hostage, because then maybe, and not even a celebrity, would you have called her a celebrity? I even forgot her name.
A minor celebrity at best.
Right? I mean, she became a celebrity because she was kidnapped.
She was kind of, she was kind of foisted on us as a celebrity.
And no one asked for her, believe me. If we're going to ask for any player who's a celebrity, we're not going to ask for her. So it's weird. We heard a lot about that, and you heard the administration bending over backward, training to get her back, but nothing here.
And we gave up, like, the deadliest arms dealer in the world.
Oh, but you know, well, he's probably reformed. He's probably fine. You know, you learn a lot. We put him through a restorative justice program while he was doing time, and he's totally great.
He had a come to Jesus moment,
I'm sure. Literally, he turned against fundamentalism, Islamic fundamentalism, and now he's he's a born again.
I think he was Russian, actually, but...
Whatever. They're all the same. Crazy. They're all crazy and dangerous, and we just gave them away. Have we heard any, by the way, just again, because I legitimately don't even know the answer to this question. Have any Russian civilians died in the war? I'm going to assume so, right? I have to assume. Is anyone getting all upset with Ukraine? Anyone putting conditions on Ukraine?
No, if you don't give them money, it's a threat to democracy.
Right? Yeah, you better give. I mean, it's been a threat to democracy for a long time. They've been out of bullets, I guess, for like the last several months. It's weird how they're still even in a war. Are they still in a war? I haven't heard anything. So it's curious the difference in conversations around both wars, and what's the one key difference? Although there is one Jew, I guess, in charge in Ukraine, but they don't really see him as a Jew. They just see him as a Ukrainian going up against Russia, and they see a whole lot of Jews going up against a marginalized community. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, we better not say anything. Push the button.
What's trending? Media bias.
So there's a story in the LA Times that really highlights just how embarrassing like newspapers have become. And it's titled, Trump says he'll jail his opponents. Members of the House January 6th committee are preparing. And I read this by Sarah D. Wire. And it's almost funny. Like, it's almost funny until you realize how she's just flat out being a lying liar who lies for a living. And I thought we would read some of this together. And by together, I mean, I'll read it and you'll listen. Or you can watch, I guess, on the camera. Members of the House committee that investigated the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, they didn't call it an insurrection, I'll give them that though, this is an attack this time, have warned America for 3 years to take former President Donald Trump at his word. Now, as Trump is poised to win the Republican presidential nomination, his criminal trial faced delays that could stall them past Election Day, and his rhetoric grows increasingly authoritarian, some of those lawmakers find themselves following their own advice. This is a news story. Okay, this is a totally objective, nonpartisan news story in the LA Times by a news reporter, not a commentator, not an analyst, a reporter. In mid-March, Trump said on social media that the committee members should be jailed. In December, he vowed to be a dictator on day one. In August, he said he would have, quote, no choice but to lock up his political opponents. So on social media, when he said the committee members should be jailed, he was talking about it in the context of them breaking the law. I mean, there's kind of some context there. And he's saying, well, if you broke the law, then you should go to jail, even if you're a political opponent, which also explains the lock up his political opponents. He would have no choice. Quite literally, the context was them breaking the law. You can say they didn't break the law. Okay, have at it. I don't care. I don't know. But don't pretend that there wasn't context. And then, of course, the dictator from day one. Do you remember? Because this one bothers me the most. I think of all of the things taken out of context, this one kills me. Do you remember the context of that, Producer Jackson?
Yeah, he was on Hannity, right?
Yep.
And he went on to say that he would close the border, right?
Yeah. That was him. He goes, I would not be a dictator except for day one when I would close the border. Dictate away. I mean, this whole idea that that's a dictatorship. Like, he was clearly making a joke. Like, there's no... It didn't even really make sense because he can do that as president. But we're told he is seriously trying to become an authoritarian dictator.
And can we put a moratorium on the term authoritarian, too? It's just so...
They don't know what it means. They really don't. The same, they don't know what fascist means. It's pretty remarkable about how dumb people accept themselves to be in order to send a message to dumber people who buy into it. You know what I mean? Like, they know what they're saying is stupid. Adam Schiff is not a dumb person. He sometimes acts like a dummy because he's trying to appeal to dumber people. And to appeal to dumb, sometimes you have to be really, really, really dumb. It explains Dora the Explorer's popularity, right? So he's not really dumb in real life. He plays one in Congress so that dumb people fall for this and give him money for his campaigns, all while getting people riled up, thinking that Donald Trump is going to become a dictator. Because you know what dictators usually do? They leave the office in which they previously had and did not commit to a dictatorship, but the second time is a charm. That's usually what dictators do. I mean, ask Putin, didn't you hear? He once lost election, left, and then came back and then became this authoritarian figure. Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il, same thing. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Let me tell you a history lesson. let me throw some history down. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local. Don't forget, our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, wants you to know the IRS is going after the older cases as aggressively as they're going after the new cases. If you owe money, if you got a form CP-504 from the IRS, please don't ignore it. Be proactive. Resolve your situation. Call Greg Nunn right now. Google NUNN, Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Renton, where yet another juvenile arrest has happened. This time, a 15-year-old who I'm sure comes from a loving and intact household, probably just mistakenly gone down the wrong road, ended up getting arrested, in this case, for allegedly committing a crime spree, not even just in Renton, but in Tukwila. We actually talked about this earlier this week and last week. He was arrested along with some others, but this part just doesn't sound real to me. You know, I like Como. I'll be on Como News later tonight talking about Ian Golash, that anti-Semitic teacher in the city we don't talk about later. But I have to call him out on this. I think this part's fake news. Tell me if this sounds realistic to you. The last 6 months, he removed his ankle bracelets 4 times. That would never happen.
No.
Come on. He's a kid.
Yeah.
They don't do that sort of thing. And I was told reliably that those ankle bracelets are foolproof. That's why you get so many put on that, even though they're incredibly dangerous and we don't actually monitor them overnight or on weekends. But other than that, I heard that they're amazing. This gotta be fake news. Shame. Cuomo must have gotten caught up in some sort of hoax. Oh, he's a rotten child who needs juvenile detention more than anything. And if you don't do it soon, he's probably going to die. Can we just say that? He'll probably create more potential victims, but he will be killed. He will die. He will die. Kids like this die, and they die very early. Sometimes they kill other people first, but then they ultimately die an early death. When we could have had some responsible adult say, yeah, this kid's clearly showing that he needs something a little bit more than a slap on the wrist. Otherwise, we're going to lose him forever. A King County youth probation officer spoke to the court yesterday.
Without question, I'm asking for secure detention. He is demonstrating that even when on electronic monitoring, he is not amenable to community-based services. Shocking. We have a history of 4 electronic monitoring bracelets being cut. I think it's time to protect the community.
Real quickly, it was time to protect the community, well, frankly, 4 ankle bracelets ago, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, 3 ankle bracelets ago. I get in some circumstances, depending on the alleged crime, and I don't know the first alleged crime here, I get wanting to put a teen on ankle bracelet, on electronic home monitoring, and keep them out of jail because no one has an appetite for just putting kids in jail, right? It should take a little bit of severity to get to that point. But you cut your ankle bracelet off one time, kind of a big sign that you should probably not get a second chance, because that was already your second chance, actually.
It's always the ones you least suspect, you know?
Yeah, it's totally shocking. Other than that, he's a great kid. Goes to school on time, straight A's. Yeah.
Brings an apple to his teacher.
I mean, knows how to hotwire a car, you know, things like that. I mean, that could be a... You know, it was funny. I was on with Hannity last night. We were talking about illegal immigrants who break the law, and he made a point that at first kind of threw me, but then I agreed with it. He's like, some of these crooks, some of these criminals are very talented. And it was almost like he wasn't complimenting the actual crime, but he was making a bigger point that I agree with. Imagine for a moment if they put all that skill and talent into something that's productive, into something that doesn't create victims, right? Just imagine for a moment what that might look like if we had people like that. And look, you've got some kids who could be saved. They're not being saved right now. And some of them actually do have some talent and skills. They're just putting it to the wrong use. And that's sad. Now, in this case, the judge finally said, okay, we'll probably do the right thing this time. We'll put him in detention. He's one of 5 suspects. 3 of them have been arrested in addition. Cuomo says, according to investigators, the group was involved in an attempted armed carjacking where a firearm was used at a bank shortly before the pursuit and crash. Sounds like good kids. Police later determined the car that the kids were in had been stolen in an armed carjacking in Tukwila around 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday. You know, I know when I was a kid 4 years ago, I was a night owl, but 3:30 is still late. I'm tired. When I was younger, 3:30, no. Every once in a while in college, I can do that, but that was not the norm. But again, I'm sure the parents were fooled this one time into where he was. I'm sure they checked on him. He put the pillows underneath his blankets in a way.
Like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, it looks like an actual person who was weirdly all clumpy everywhere and didn't have any hair or feet or arms, but other than that, looked like a person. They just got fooled. Brandon police said they connected one of the teens from the group to a crime spree last week where teenagers tried to elude a police helicopter in a stolen car. Remember that? Oh, my God. Court officials said one of the suspects who was arrested on Wednesday has been in and out of youth detention repeatedly since October. So if you've been in and out of youth detention repeatedly, it means you were let out prematurely multiple times. And no one says a thing. No one says a thing. Oh, but good news. Multiple warrants out on that one kid since February. Multiple since February. What's today?
Today's April 5th.
Yeah, it's April. Okay. I know we had an extra day in February this time around, but still, we were still short a couple. And he had multiple warrants since February. Gotta love it. Oh my God. Meanwhile, I actually have some good news for the first time in a while. It's the 91st year for the Daffodil Festival. Yay! It's daffodil time! What's a daffodil? I don't know the difference between a daffodil and anything other than a tulip, I suppose. But also, the Grand Floral Parade will take place on Saturday. Yay! The kids are so excited. It started out as a celebration of the local agriculture industry back in 1934, but has since become a Pierce County-wide community tradition with flower-filled floats, high school bands, bored husbands, and it just sounds amazing. The parade tomorrow takes place. You know, some people say one parade is enough because it's so boring. But this parade has four locations. That's four parades.
Even the Rose Bowl doesn't get that.
I know. This is such a big deal for Tacoma, Puyallup, Sumner, Ording. They have staggered start times. So if you're in Tacoma, you can then go to Ording and see the whole exact same thing happen again. Except I imagine that by the time it gets to Sumner or Puyallup, I don't know which one starts first. Whichever one starts, I'd probably do Ording last. No offense. It just makes more sense. How many of the daffodils probably fell off?
I'd imagine quite a few. I mean,
what's a daffodil? Are they all yellow?
I don't know.
I think a daffodil is yellow for sure. I've seen yellow daffodils.
I mean, I think, I don't know if there's other colors. I think they do come in yellow. But
do they?
I think so.
I still don't know.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, a producer with a little bit more experience would start Googling immediately. Because now, well, he's so slow. It's like he's never used a computer before. And I literally just saw him type two characters. And then he immediately took his hand off of the keyboard and went to the mouse. What could those two characters have been?
Hey, so it says golden yellow daffodils are an iconic spring flower.
I see.
But they do come in other colors, white, pink, and orange. Yeah, so.
Hey, Jackson. Yeah. I don't see color. Yeah, I don't see color. It was a trick. I was tricking you to see whether or not you fell into the anti-racism training I subjected you to before you even got hired.
Didn't
I
take.
Made sure you were a racist, and then.
It didn't
that's
take.
That's the new anti-racism. Okay, Sunday, if you want to run with flowers, I guess there's a daffodil 8K. I think you run with a bouquet of daffodils for 8 miles. That sounds horrible, especially if you've got allergies. Finally, tree people were protesting in Shoreline yesterday. When I say tree people, I don't mean they live in a tree, although I don't know. I mean, some of them kind of look like they do. But these are people who just absolutely love trees so much that when they see one tree get cut down, they just can't bear it anymore. Now, last week we told you about this big I-5 project in, kind of close to Lynnwood Shoreline. And it's going to create more of a walkable route for the people who won't even be using it because it's connected to Sound Transit and Shoreline that no one's going to take. But they're going to try to create it so that more people can walk and bike to then get on Sound Transit, light rail, to get into downtown Seattle, in which then they'll sort of navigate downtown stabbing and passed out hobos and whatnot to get to work where they're only working one day a week anyway. And they're trying to get out of that, by the way. So this is going to come in handy. But to do that, they have to cut down a whole bunch of different trees. And every single time a tree is cut down, a tree person sheds a tear and a fairy loses its wings and dies. And so there's a lot of dead fairies today because they cut down like 300 trees so far, I think. Protesters didn't want to see them cut down the huge Douglas firs, the big leaf maples, the red cedars. I know more about those than daffodils. I know that they're trees. That's about all I know. I'm assuming a red cedar is red. And cedar.
Yeah.
Well, they're getting cut down. They tried to save it. They did what they could, but they spoke to Como TV and said they failed at this like they failed at everything else in life, which is why they're tree people.
It's a disappointment that we couldn't have an impact on this project and that all these trees are coming down.
We should do everything we can to preserve nature.
They could easily be building.
Just real quickly. Did they do everything they could in order to save nature?
I mean, I'm glad they didn't.
Just saying. I mean, stop telling me you're doing everything you can. You're clearly not. Or you're really bad at your job, right? I mean, we're doing everything. No, there were some other people who camped out in trees. I went and visited them and pretended I was interested in what they had to say and didn't intend to take them all out of context to make fun of them and then realized I don't even have to take them out of context to make fun of them. I've met these people. They did everything they could, or at least they went one step further than these people did. They didn't lose those trees. Remember that story? What was her name? They were all the same. Like, they all had the sequoia or something. They all had the same name.
Around many of these trees, but they're choosing not to.
I hope that somehow we can stop them from doing that. You know, it's
realize it.
They can change their plans. There's nothing that says you can't change your plans.
Okay. Well, they are not. He does know that they lost, right? Because this was done after trees were taken down.
A little too late.
Looking around. I thought the protest was today. It started last month. Why didn't anyone tell me? They said they could build around hundreds of trees. I do like that. It would be a it's like following a treasure map on the back of your Denny's kids menu, where it just takes you on this roundabout way, even though you could have just crossed the little forest directly, but instead you're going all the way around. Because they didn't want to cut down any of the trees between point A and point B where the treasure was. Oh, my God. A city spokesperson said the current layout is congested. It's accident prone. No one can walk or ride bicycles there. But the tree lady doesn't care.
They will not provide the cooling for people or the habitat for wildlife that these trees provide.
Oh, yeah, all the wildlife is in the trees. Yeah, guy, it's a shoreline lady. And by the way, they're going to plant more trees than they're cutting down. So everyone relax. Other than that, I'm a big fan of trees. 1-800-465-8770. You pick the story we do next. Number one, The Rock explains why he's not endorsing Joe Biden again. Or story number two, Lauren Culp faces expulsion from from a sheriff's and police chief's group. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's no longer a police chief. Which story should we cover? 1-800-465-8770. Send your answers on The Jason Rand Show.
You pick the topic on The Jason Rand Show.
I'm a little shocked, but it was a blowout. Everyone's more interested in Dwayne The Rock Johnson than I thought. Actually, I shouldn't even say that, because name a celebrity who is more likable than The Rock. Can you think of one? Who's more likable than Dwayne Johnson?
I mean, I always thought the most likable celebrity was Alex Trebek, and obviously he's no longer with us. So, yeah, I mean, at this point,
just say you can't think of one.
I can't think of one, yeah.
Why couldn't you just go with it? What were the rules?
I was trying to stall and think of someone else. But
no, but I didn't want you to. You were supposed to agree. I was giving you a knowing glance. Did you not see that? This is my knowing glance. So people who watch the webcam probably just saw that. So I got to be careful now that we have webcams in the studio, because Brady will tell you some of the things I've said and done when there weren't any cameras here.
You can't be quite as abusive, you know.
No, I'm still going to be abusive. It'll just be verbal.
Oh.
I can't make any hand gestures or anything. I can't mouth what I'm really thinking of like that. I'm kidding. So he did an interview with Fox News, and I don't know, I think there's some WWE thing happening this weekend, and I guess he's doing some promotion for it. I thought he completely separated himself from wrestling, which, you know, was smart. They weirdly have good actors, or at least likable characters that have come out and actually made John Cena, that other guy in that movie that one time.
Well, there was like Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? He's kind of...
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of him. He's not very good. I think I'm actually thinking of John Cena twice.
Oh, probably.
So two that have come out that have been really popular. But The Rock is like the most popular celebrity in the world at this point. And back during the first Biden-Kamala Harris election, he came out and endorsed them. He's not doing that this time.
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this. This is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no. I'm not going to do that, because what I realized, what that caused back then, was something that tears me up in my guts back then and now, which is division.
So a little bit of a cop out, because what he really meant was, I don't want to attach myself to this guy again. He was a disappointment. No one wants to admit that they fell for the scam of, he's going to be the adult, he's going to be the calm figure who's going to unite everyone. And based solely on that message, and that was really all he was doing from the basement. I mean, he really was not campaigning. It was all about this PR push. And no one could point to a presidential record under Joe Biden. You can point to Obama, but that really wasn't going to move the needle. And you can say, okay, you might like some of the things under Trump, but he's just, have you seen his tweet today? And of course, you had 4 years of just relentless media coverage, nonstop talking about how dangerous Donald Trump is and how evil he is. And people were just kind of sick of it. They just didn't want to deal with it. And then, of course, you throw the pandemic involved and all this. It's like, yeah, do I want the chaos? A lot of people said no. And I imagine The Rock was feeling like a lot of people, which was, yeah, I'm done with the chaos. I'm going to trust this guy he's likable, I guess. He stutters a lot, but we kind of like him. He's, you know, he's just old Joe. He's inoffensive. He's a uniter. And then, bam, all of a sudden, he's falling downstairs. He's falling upstairs, which is very difficult to do. He's calling everyone a fascist. He's talking about the threat of the MAGA Republicans, all while tanking the economy, making things worse off for pretty much everyone, including The Rock. And he doesn't feel like falling for that scam again. He knows that, excuse me, that Joe Biden is not the uniter in chief that he wanted us to believe him to be. And so he's just kind of done with it. And it doesn't matter that he says, you know, it just caused too much division. That's not the takeaway here. The only takeaway for most people is that The Rock is refusing to endorse Joe Biden a second time. That's it. And people will fill in the reason without listening to the interview or reading any story. They'll just see the headline. And literally every headline is, he refuses to endorse Joe Biden a second time. So this is good news, obviously, for Donald Trump, if you believe that people like The Rock or Taylor Swift or folks like that have an influence. And they probably have a little bit of an influence, I guess. I don't know a single celebrity who, if they said something that I didn't already agree with, would change my mind, at least from a politician standpoint. I can't think of one. And a good example is The Rock. I like The Rock. I think he's a good actor, weirdly enough. I find him likable. I don't care what he thinks. Like, seriously, I'm saying, maybe the only ones who can change my mind are BTS, but they don't speak English. And so I don't know who they're voting for. They probably have said it in a video and I don't understand. Just sing Smooth Like Butter and then I'm fine. Why are you laughing at that? It's a good song. They're Smooth Like Butter. And the song about drinking milk with LeBron. Remember that one?
No, I don't. I don't really listen to them. So.
Oh, my God. You might not work out here. We're BTS fans on this show. We're not Swifties. We go with the BTS army and we hashtag it. Mostly because I'm terrified of the fans. The one time I went on TV and I bashed them and managed to bash Taylor Swift in the exact same segment. And oh my God, did I get hit up on Twitter. There were lots of angry 14-year-old girls. There were lots of angry 14-year-old girls. you do not understand fear until you hear from angry 14-year-old girls. I do not wish that on my worst enemy. That's a lie. I 100% wish that on my worst enemy. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. I do like BTS, though. I like that one song that they dance and stuff.
I've heard of the name. I just am not that familiar with their music, but...
It's K-pop. Okay. You don't understand anything they're saying except for the English ones, which they don't understand what it is they're saying. It actually works out really well. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. Don't forget, download the KTTH smartphone app. You can watch the show live as we perform it on AM 770 KTTH.